The preceding program was produced at KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. More audio can be found online at kboo.fm.
Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio couldn't do it without you. Support KBOO by becoming a member during our spring membership drive, taking place now through May 25th. Your contribution goes towards postmodern, avant-garde, alternative radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, the farmer is...
Tune in to The Dirt Bag every second Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m.
Learn to grow your tasty fruits and vegetables in your home garden.
There is a monthly garden stumper, calendar of gardening events. You can even call in with your gardening questions.
That's The Dirt Bag every second Wednesday, 11 to 12 a.m. That's on
KBOO
Portland.
Listen, laugh, learn.
The farmer is the man that feeds them all.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM.
If you stop to listen, their hearts beating loud. Can't keep those California Indians down. They're tough and resilient and whole.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to American Indian Airwaves. For Marcus Lopez, I'm your host, Larry Smith. On today's show, Sacred Stage talks with Native playwrights and artists with Diane Frere from the Osage Cherokee Nations. She is the writer, director, and producer of a brand new Native American film called The Heart States. We'll speak with her and more here on American Indian Airwaves.
You can hear when the moon shines bright, the lone Makani blows to the bahu drum. It's the warriors who are marching down the mountain. Because history ain't no mystery to me. Been marching through the pain.
Today on American Indian Airwaves, we continue with our series Sacred Stage Talks with Native Playwrights and Artists. Our guest for the hour is from the Osage and Cherokee Nations. She is founder and director of Amerinda Inc., a community-based multi-arts organization that works to empower Native Americans. The organization is based out of New York City in the traditional territories of the Manahana and surrounding indigenous peoples. Our guest for the hour is the writer, director, and producer of a new feature Native American film titled The Heart Stays, a coming-of-age story about two Osage sisters. The film was just released on a variety of digital streaming platforms this past March 26. And our guest for the hour, Diane Frere, joins us to discuss and explain the unique artistic importance of the film and how the story is an artistically superior method of realization of Native storytelling and the importance of the unique community-based business model used in the film's production. And now, Sacred Stage talks with Native playwrights and artists with Diane Frere. We begin the interview with her explaining what is The Heart Stays.
The Heart Stays is a coming-of-age story of two Osage Native American sisters who leave the safety of family and tradition to follow their dreams. One gets a scholarship to go to school in the East, and the other one decides she wants to be a rock star. And she runs into trouble, and the older one has to try to help her sister, take care of her younger sister, and hold on to her own dream at the same time.
Talk about the making of the film, because this isn't a Hollywood first cinema film for, you know, people that are familiar with this cinema language, if you will. But this is not a Hollywood film. This is a indigenous film. This is a Osage film per se. And I was wondering, maybe talk more about the making of the film and what makes this film so uniquely different, but yet so important.
First of all, the film is a community, I call it being community-based film, all right? It's I tell stories about the struggle to identify with traditional Native people, struggle to identify with traditional Native values within the context of modern society. I also make what I call community-based films, that they emerge out of Native community, not just in the storytelling, but in the style of production, and also the how we get the funding to support the creation of the film. Sort of breaks down into three different parts, but it, of course, it's all integrated into the final result, which is an independent feature film.
Well, I think that's so important in Hollywood films, if you will. You know, they employ, you know, sometimes they employ Native actors and people and writers. But it's always it seems like the exception and not the norm. And so what you're sharing with listeners is, it for Native folks and based on Native traditions and practices, but also maybe in response to First Cinema, is how important the production was in this film and the methods that were used to produce that film. And I was wondering, maybe walk us through, and who are some of the people, some of the community members that participated that may not have had formalized Western cinematic training, if you will, or narrative training, and then maybe some did, and maybe kind of walk us through that process, if you will.
Well, I think the first thing is to say that there were Native people in positions of artistic leadership.
Right.
So that's the first thing that has to happen. And then there were Native people both in front and behind the camera, not just actors. Right. And then there were Native people performing Native roles with fully developed characters. The story is grounded in community and family and in Native people's lives. And it was filmed, slightly less than half of the entire film was shot on Osage Nation. It was shot in community, so there were no constructed sets. There were no set dressing. There were the locations and the where you are is actually someone's home or someone's land, or it's Osage Nation. It's right there. So it gives a level of authenticity that's, you know, multi-layered. We had veteran Native actors, and also I like the idea of finding Native talent and bringing forth talent. You have your veteran actors, but you also you create an opportunity where you find talented people and then you bring them forth so that they can emerge, but which maybe might not have happened otherwise. Let me see. I think, like, for example, in the casting, something I would say would be, share with people, would be that I didn't want to use a non-Native casting director. I really reached out to other people in the community and for suggestions and ideas, and because the Native people knew where one another were and where they'd seen somebody perform, or somebody that they felt would be right, or somebody's another family or in their family or this sort of thing. Because a non-Native casting director would, whatever the person they sent me would be fine, they'd be great. Don't get me wrong, may they all live and be well. But it would be through their eyes of who we are or what we should be. So if we're on a continuum, it's going more towards assimilation and farther away from that traditional community life experience.
Well, I was just going to add to that, or if we can add to that, is the importance of the cultural authenticity and the cultural specificity. So when you get non-native or even indigenous peoples that are not from Osage Nation or not culturally grounded with Osage traditions, that can alter the story just in general. So what I'm hearing from you is just a very concerted effort to ensure that the story and the film is, in its entirety, is authentic in all aspects, Osage.
Right. So the strength of the story is grounded in the specificity. Hmm. I often talk to people about, like, when Native people, for example, and you sort of alluded to it in just now, when Native people say go to a large urban city and people from many nations together, that's a kind of a pan, what we would call a pan-Indian community.
Right.
That's, and of course, each individual Native carries their identity with them. They remain who they are within this right. group of a multinational community.
Right.
Okay, so also at the same time, at its worst, and oftentimes when I refer to pan-Indianism, I'm thinking about the worst state of affairs, which is that we have Native people in a film that they have, in quotes, they're just Indian, unquote. They really have no character development. They have no depth whatsoever. They're rendered really to almost to the level of being a prop, like we've said. So the cultural specificity informs the story. For example, in this case, you could have told a story where the younger sister had to take care of the older sister, and that could have been an interesting storyline. But in Native culture, the oldest in Osage culture, Osage Native culture, the oldest child has a very important role in the family, whether that be male or female. So it had to be the cultural specificity mandated that the older sister would be the one to take care of the younger one. Not from a mainstream perspective, but from an Osage perspective. And also, too, you know, one other thing. My husband, who's also Osage and Cherokee, had shared with me a family elder saying that oftentimes when the oldest child is a girl, that's an even more difficult role for them to fulfill. They carry an even bigger load when they do this. So that mandated, you know, that ground of the story being even more about, for me, about two sisters.
In adding to that or complementing that, and, you know, you mentioned this earlier that a little over half the film is shot in the Osage Nation, but the other part of the film is shot in New York. And so often, you know, a disproportionate number of Native people live in urban environments. We live away from our traditional homelands. And so, you know, home is what centers us, but at the same time, living away from home and the settler colonial society makes it harder to stay centered in who we are and in relationship to home. And how's that when we want listeners to watch the film, but how important is that in telling this story, in keeping the Osage characters centered in Osage while living away?
I would say that, well, first of all, when we made this story in New York, the Native characters who are in that part of the story were from the New York City urban Native community. So we actually worked with the Osage community for the first part of the story, and the second part of the story worked more with the people from the urban Native community that I knew here from living in New York. I say here because I'm, you know, anyway, from living in New York. And I think that was in some ways that was reflective of the reality too, because the oldest sister follows her dream to go away to school, and at school she becomes part of a multinational Native community, but she still is in touch with her family. She doesn't sever ties with her family, and she doesn't sever ties with her values and who she is within the context of now this multinational Native group and the greater American society, as she struggles to have to find her place within that part of which of the world.
Another important dynamic, or just an important part of who Indigenous people are, but and including the Osage, is, you know, the role that that language plays, right? Our traditional languages, and how is the Osage language part of the story in this film?
Well, I didn't use subtitles because I thought they would be distracting. So I fell back on the traditional way at home. A role that one of the elders played. That elder had in his early childhood been exposed to Osage elders born before 1900. So his first exposure to the language, which he spoke almost simultaneously with English growing up, was the way it was spoken before 1900. That's a very different way of looking at it than if not what a linguist might recreate, right? A linguist might could help someone revitalize language, but it would be said in a different way probably than what his first recollection, that elder's first recollection of absorbing the language before 1900.
And we want to remind listeners, you're listening to American Indian Airwaves. We're listening to our ongoing series titled Sacred Stage, Talks with Native Playwrights and Artists. You're listening to Diane Freyer, who is from the Osage and Cherokee Nation, founder and director of Amerinda Inc. She is also the writer, director, and producer of this brand new Native American feature film, The Heart Stays, which is recently released on a variety of digital streaming platforms. And now back to the interview here on American Indian Airwaves.
So, and he, when he spoke, he spoke to the others in characters in the scene and explained. He would speak and then he would follow that up explaining what he was saying, which is really keeping it grounded in the oral tradition. Mm-hmm. rather than being distracted by subtitles. And in scenes where I call it like where language is we pepper our conversation with mm-hmm. certain terms from our own Native language a lot of times, and that I allow the action of the scene simply to make it self-evident what the word would mean.
Does that include the in the example that you're providing in relationship to the film, is that so, you know, sometimes languages they include dialects, and sometimes dialects change over time, so you're able to keep that.
Right. Well, when you're hearing an elder, you learn from an elder who learned from an elder born before 1900, and like I'm saying, that was, they were learning their Osage at the same time they were learning English, so it's almost like they had two first languages. So hearing him speak, see, the group hearing him speak is a very different experience than like when you hear someone who is a linguist revitalize something, who's even just for example, they have wax rolls, we all know, in the Smithsonian at right. the Library of Congress with our people, what we call the old people. Hmm. Oftentimes referred to them as the old people, so just do speaking the language, and I'm sure it's the same with everybody else. But again, if you have someone who's actually heard that firsthand themselves, more in their own life, then you're going to stay closer to what that really is, rather than someone, even a non-native, listening very closely and trying to help assist people in revitalization. It's still going to be a little different.
And you're listening to Sacred Stage, Talks with Native Playwrights and Artists with Diane Freyer. And we want to remind listeners that KPFK is currently in fund drive mode, and we need your support here on American Indian Airwaves and KPFK. If you appreciate the work that we do and the voices that we bring here on American Indian Airwaves and all the work of the volunteer programmers and staff here at KPFK, we ask that you financially support the station. And there are several ways in which you can support the station here at KPFK. You can call 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, and you can make a monthly pledge in a dollar amount of your choice, or you can visit the kpfk.org website and click on the KPFK Fund Drive widget, and there's a variety of different premium items that you can select from for a dollar amount as a way to show your appreciation and your support for KPFK. So there's books, there's music, you know, there's a signed poster by Shepherd Ferry, the KPFK 60th anniversary poster that you can pick up for $65, KPFK grocery tote bags, bumper stickers, books, and again, music. And all those things are listed on the kpfk.org website. And so we encourage you, as longtime and maybe new American Indian Airwaves listeners here on FM 90.7 or in the podcasting realm, to show your support for community listener supported radio. Again, the phone number is 818-985-5735 or 818-985-KPFK, or visit the kpfk.org website, click on the KPFK Fund Drive widget, select a premium item for a dollar amount, pick that up as your for that dollar amount as a way to show your support, or become a KPFK Sustainer Circle member by agreeing to donate a dollar amount of your choice on a monthly basis. And now we want to bring you more of Sacred Stage Talks with Native Playwrights and Artists with Diane Frere, the writer, director, and producer of this brand new Native American feature film titled The Heart Stays, which was just released this past March 26th on a variety of different digital streaming platforms. And now back to the interview. In storytelling, in this case through the medium of film, you know, and we've touched on it in various ways, but I was wondering maybe we can expand upon the, I guess, the cultural specificity, if you will, and the uniqueness to Osage storytelling in this film, as opposed to quote unquote Western settler colonial storytelling. And, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, the description, right? We're using the colonial language English, and, you know, and it's characterized as a coming of age story, which is certainly very popular story form, if you will, but it's also culturally specific to Osage in terms of what that means. I was wondering if you could speak to that, or if you will.
Well, I think that that comes, that's where we see that the specificity is in that struggle to identify with the traditional values within the context of modern society. How do the young people do that, right? How do they do that? And it's you know, there's the anxiety the family might feel that, well, one of their daughters or both their daughters are going to go take this adventure, but it's but for the young people, they have to go out and experience things, but still trying to hold on to the struggle to hold on to who they are, right? And the frustration of that, and in some, on some level, it's paradoxically almost like that part of the story is like an immigrant story, because We've all gone someplace. We've all tried something new, and the hope is just simply that it works out.
Right.
But how does it work out? I think is what the issue that I'm raising here. How do we solve our own problems as Native people? How do we take charge of our life?
In telling stories in film, it's different than just oral traditions. If we were gathered, you know, a community gathering or for ceremony. A lot of times story form is told orally. So how challenging is it, or was it, to tell this Osage story through the, say, the medium of film?
Well, I saw the story with the, that there's a lot of subtext to it. And I think it's the, it emerges out of history as lived, right?
Right.
So it's coming from life as lived by a member of a community. So that's what's informing the whole thing. For example, I could not go into someone else's community and tell their story because there's too much history. There's too much subtext that you wouldn't even know was missing. And that's been the problem, I feel, and why it's so important that we tell our stories, our own stories, because it's us defining who we are for ourselves and people being able to see that. And also us, like I just said, I would not try to cross that boundary with someone else. I live here in New York City. I couldn't go downtown to Little Italy and tell a story about the people who grew up there because I don't have that history. So, and when that happens, if someone is telling a story about Osages, it wasn't just on a cosmetic level or a ceremonial level.
Mm.
See, it's multi-layered.
One of the things, when we talk about authenticity in film and where Indigenous people live and what home is like for some folks, that the kind of the cultural lifestyle pacing is different, say, like in the city, right? Whether it be New York or Los Angeles, where there's such a high density of population, Indigenous peoples oftentimes are decentralized, and there's certain, places or, institutions and urban environments that are that cultural nexus, if you will. But, people live in very busy environment, right? A lot of traffic, a lot of people, et cetera, where we go home, right? Depending on where our home is, the cultural lifestyle and the pacing is more in alignment with our traditions, if you will. And how do you convey that in your film?
Well, we slowed down the pacing, the overall pacing of the story, so that people can see that Native life is slower. People take the time to reflect. People are more introspective, perhaps, and put a value on that.
Mm.
And then when the part of the story where the two sisters are not home, then you see the pressure building up on people here, the pace of things, and then also. So the overall pacing of the editing reflects the pacing of real life in the community. And again, we go back to this idea of the influence of the classic Native language as spoken, classic version of it as spoken in communities, and how that informs the slower cadence of individual characters, because they're used to hearing both, see? So that's a different approach. Again, we go back to this idea that it's history as lived, because you have to know that, have been there, been through that, to know whether or not it's missing in order to put it in the story, integrate it into the way you're trying to do this.
I know we want folks to watch the film. It was just released, I believe, March 26th. It's available on certain digital streaming platforms. But before we start to wrap up, if you will, talk about some of the cast, right? Because you have, maybe first-time Native actors, if I understand correctly, but you also have very well-experienced Native actors that also collaborated and worked on this film. So, talk about who the cast are, who people are going to see, and the roles that they play, and where they're from, if you will.
Okay, I think I mentioned that we had a wonderful mix of veteran Native actors.
Right.
Irene Bedard, Delana Studi, John Proudstar, Casey Camp Hornick, people that, again, been grounded in community and Native storytelling for quite some time. And then it was a really nice mix with the emerging actors. White Robertson from Cherokee Nation there in Oklahoma, and of course the two lead actors, Natalie Standing Clown is the lead actress and the principal supporting actress, Sierra Spirit Kaihiga, also people grounded in community there in Oklahoma. They're both Cherokee as well, and Sierra's also, her dad's also Oto as well, so she's Cherokee Oto, and Natalie is from Cherokee community, and again in Oklahoma there. And then Brian Young, who's D-Day, is another emerging actor, and other people with even smaller roles. I had two elders who've been part of contemporary Native arts for generations that were involved. Muriel Miguel, when the Schuner sisters founded Spider Woman Theater, is in the film. Muriel's from the New York urban community for generations. And the late, may he rest in peace, we all miss him a lot. William S. Yellow Robe Jr., who yes. was our most prolific Native playwright.
Yes.
And whom I've known, Bill was a Cinnabon, but he had taught and worked in the East for a fair amount of time, and I'd worked with Bill for a couple decades. And it was such a joy to have him there with us. It was community. We keep going back to the same thing. It was the Native arts community.
And we want to remind listeners, you're listening to American Indian Airwaves. We're listening to our ongoing series titled Sacred Stage, Talks with Native Playwrights and Artists. You're listening to Diane Frayer, who is from the Osage and Cherokee Nation, founder and director of Amerinda Inc. She is also the writer, director, and producer of this brand new Native American feature film, The Heart Stays, which is recently released on a variety of digital streaming platforms. And now back to the interview here on American Indian Airwaves. I know Marcus and I had a show regarding Bill's contributions out there many years ago. So for longtime listeners, they should hopefully they'll recognize the name and you know, as you were sharing, right, just reminding everybody of how pivotal and how monumental and how foundational he is and was to the Indigenous arts movement out there in New York.
And yes, well, yes. I mean, the two elders who had given so much to their, have given so much to their, to the evolution of contemporary Native American arts. It was just great to see and have both of them to be there with me.
Diane, unlike the Hollywood industry where you have all these, you know, specialized crafts and in every aspect of, you know, making films and cinema is highly monetized and it makes it a very industrialized and complex process that oftentimes is extraordinarily expensive to make a film. And in The Heart Stays, you know, you use completely different economic model that would never be permitted in the Hollywood film industry. And I think that's such an important point to illustrate and to talk about with listeners, because this film could never be made in the Hollywood film industry.
Right, right, exactly. Well, I was saying that we had already discussed earlier that there was no equity financing. So what I'd figured out long ago was that when we started Amerinda, the nonprofit organization, was that the philanthropic establishment makes grants to nonprofit organization. It's an investment in economic development in underserved communities. So that was going to have to be the way that we would get financial support to make the film. And then we would hire Native people. Then I also said that in the past, how things are done in a top-down hierarchy with non-Native people controlling everything is they're telling the story that they made up, and then they use Native people as advisors to them, right, to fulfill an imaginary story. Say, for example, an Indian lawyer, an Indian vampire, an Indian something, I don't know. Rather than, and we flip that over, we're going to tell a Native, authentic Native story from emerging up out of community. And we've worked with non-Native professionals in the, on the production side with us, but it was a peer group hierarchy because traditionally they would hire us as advisors and not listen to us. We hired people to work with us, and we listened to them and then took the important things they were sharing with us and applied them in a Native way. So that's a completely different business model.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And not, it's not continuing the destructive aspects of, you know, Native people being treated as like children all the time.
And you're listening to Sacred Stage Talks with Native Playwrights and Artists with Diane Frere. She is the writer, director, and producer of a brand new Native American feature film, The Heart Stays, in which we're discussing in-depthly with her on this episode of American Indian Airwaves. We want to remind listeners that KPFK is currently in fund drive mode, and KPFK is 100% listener supported. That needs your support during these times. There's a variety of ways in which you can assist in financially supporting the station. It does not receive any type of financial corporate underwriters or corporate. It does not take and does not broadcast any type of corporate advertising, which makes us unique here on American Indian Airwaves and KPFK. Marcus?
Well, we'd like to thank everybody for listening to the American Indian Airwave, especially now the pledge to this station. We've gone through a lot of changes here on KPFK. And as you can, if you go to kpfk.org, you can pledge some monies in order to support the station, especially support the American Indian Airwaves. We've been here a long time, gone through a lot of issues in our presentation, just like the issues we're presenting to you today on this broadcast, the wonderful Native film production, and also contributions of many actors and on the Osage Nation. And I'm sure glad that we presented it to you. And that's what we do here at American Indian Airways. We present you Native news, Native indigenous people on the front lines, whether it be in the artist form, educational form, political form, whether it be form against capital itself, and the variety of many of our leaders speak to the issue of freedom, real freedom, not pretend freedom with a casino or anything like that, but real freedom and the freedom in which people create their own reality of self-determination and vision for the future. We attempt to do this here on American Indian Airways, and I wanted to reach out. You can go to their website or phone this number, 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. And then pledge whatever you want to pledge. At the same time, there's pledge gifts we have, and then you can go on the website. For example, the assigned copy of KPFK's 60th anniversary, really pretty, really beautiful, 1959 to 2019, for a $65 pledge. And other items, you have a $50 KPFK, really pretty tote bag. And that is something that if you want to promote KPFK in your own way and your organization, and there's other areas in which you can end gifts. But you don't have to. For example, like Larry has mentioned before, have a pledge item. You could just donate monies in your organization in order to keep the station going, especially in this time of need, what's going on in the Middle East. You know, ethnic cleansing is continuing, and understanding the situation, the history of Native peoples in this country and the similarities between the two. And then in turn, you know, all the other issues are brewing to you. And we bring it to you with the hard work of Larry and myself in order to reach out to our Native listeners and our nations in order to, on the website, kpfk.org and American Indian Airways on Spotify, you can do that and listen to our program. We really appreciate it. We appreciate all the listeners, Native and non-Native, and we want to get the word out what Native people are doing, self-determination, and about independence for Native peoples. Larry.
Thank you, Marcus. And for our listeners, we want to return back to our interview with Diane Frere as part of our series, Sacred Stage Talks with Native Playwrights and Artists. She's from the Osage Cherokee Nations and founder and director of Amerinda, Inc., a community-based multi-arts organization that works to empower Native Americans. And she's also the writer, director, and producer of a brand new Native American feature film called The Heart Stays, and it was just released on a variety of digital streaming platforms this past March 26th. And we want to go back to our interview with Diane Frere on The Heart Stays here on American Indian Airwaves. For the film, we want people to watch The Heart Stays. I know it's available on Amazon Prime, and where can people go to watch the film?
Well, oh gosh, there's a lot of places. Google Play, YouTube, it's on Spectrum, it's on My Dish, it's on DirecTV, on Comcast, it's on Vudu, a lot of platforms. I can't even think of them all now, but I suggest that people go to Fios, it's on Verizon too, but whatever platform you're used to going to that you're usually watch from, check it out and see if it isn't there, because it's a long list of them, I would say.
Two more questions. In the history of Osage cinema storytelling, where does your film sit, or where is it situated?
Well, first of all, I think maybe we didn't mention it earlier, but I think it's worth saying.
Right.
We certainly implied it, but
right.
Just say it outright. I think something that's real important about this story is Native people are not seen as figures of the past.
Right.
That we have a living culture.
Right.
And that the Native characters are fully developed. They're not victims of events or things that happen that are forced upon them in their lives.
Mm.
They're not tragic victims. They're people
right.
with rich lives
right.
in a rich community. And I'm hoping that this will be an inspiration for other Native filmmakers in other communities. Certainly the young people, but also anyone,
right.
elders, anybody that wants to tell their story, that this will be an inspiration and a support for them. And I really am so honored and so proud to have been able to work with Osage people, my own folks, on this and tell this story. And for us to be a visionary people and realize the importance of it for everyone. And I'm mentoring a young, emerging young Osage woman filmmaker at home, and I'm excited about that, to be able to do that. And I would want to provide and give support to as many people as possible from the Native community. And my hope for all of this to I love our stories.
Yes, yes.
And I hope the story finds its way into people's heart. And that stories are so important to all of us. They inspire us. They guide us, and they can, when you let them in your heart, they can be like a friend. They'll stay there with you. And and that we will have that voice. Mm. This is a step forward in all of us having a voice.
Like so many Native folks, multi-talented, always wearing many different hats, just part of who we are. You touched on the organization American Indian Artists, and for our listeners, because American Indian Artists plays such a profound role, not only in the making of the film and not only your positions as the founder and director, but also as a foundational organization in New York for Indigenous artists. I was wondering if you could just tell our listeners, what is the organization?
Yeah, the film was produced by American Indian Artists, mm-hmm. also known as Amerinda. It's a community-based, Native multicultural arts organization here in New York that serves the tribal and rural community. It has all Native board of directors, tribal and rural folks. New York has, a lot of people aren't aware, though they're learning more, it's the second largest Native multi-arts movement, contemporary Native multi-arts movement outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And stretching back before civil rights and social justice, certainly Native people were coming here as artists to follow their dream and express themselves and to develop. And certainly after civil rights and social justice, that was true because so many people were liberated. And so we founded Amerinda as a Native multi-arts organization serving the tribal and rural community.
And we want to remind listeners, you're listening to American Indian Airwaves. We're listening to our ongoing series titled Sacred Stage, Talks with Native Playwrights and Artists. You're listening to Diane Frayer, who is from the Osage and Cherokee Nation, founder and director of Amerinda Inc. She is also the writer, director, and producer of this brand new Native American feature film, The Heart Stays, which is recently released on a variety of digital streaming platforms. And now back to the interview here on American Indian Airwaves.
So that there would be a platform, it's artist-driven, and that there would be a platform for Native people to express themselves, because we all know that socio-political movements, economic movements shift and move, and there can be long periods of stagnation. Mm. But that if we had a platform, we'd have a way to continue to follow our dream and to express ourselves. So Amerinda has been that platform for many, many Native artists in many disciplines over the years. And so that also, too, I think this is an important part of the story, is that The Heart Stays, we didn't have any investors. Mm. There was no equity financing in it. Okay. It was made entirely with fellowships and grants that I received as an individual artist, which then I applied toward the making of the film. So some of the supporters were the New York State Council on the Arts, the Native Arts and Cultures Fund, the Robert Rauschenberg Foundation, I guess they just go by Rauschenberg Foundation. I received a fellowship in screenwriting from the New York Foundation for the Arts. The Osage Nation Foundation, I received two grants from them.
Wonderful.
So, and also a donation to Amerinda from a woman named Dorothy Lichtenstein, who's an arts patron. So it was an amalgamation of all of that together. So,
as we formally wrap up, any final thoughts for our listeners? And we want to obviously encourage them to watch the film, The Heart Stays. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I hope that people will let the story into their heart, and hooray for Native cinema.
Yes. And that was our interview with Diane Frayer. She's the writer, director, and producer of this new Indigenous film, The Heart Stays. This is part of our Sacred Stage talks with Native playwrights and artists here on American Indian Airwaves. And if you appreciate the work that we do, you appreciate the work that KPFK and all its volunteer staff does and volunteer programmers does for you, the listeners, we ask that you support us here on American Indian Airwaves and support KPFK. There are several ways in which you can support the station as we continue to move forward in our transition to a new location and are providing a community service amongst the vast swath of the media. As you know, here KPFK is 100% listener supported, and we rely on all of you, the listeners, to support us here at KPFK. Ways you can support the station: you can become a monthly KPFK sustainer member. You can visit the kpfk.org website, click on the KPFK wedge, and agree to donate a dollar amount of your choice on a monthly basis as a way to show your appreciation and to support KPFK. Also, on the KPFK website, you can click on the KPFK pledge widget, and there's a variety of premium items for that are listed for a specific dollar amount, and you can pick up one of those premium items for that dollar amount as another way to show your support here on KPFK. You can also call 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, and speak with someone to and express your way that you want to support KPFK here on the American Indian Airwaves. Marcus?
Larry, so true. We want to reach out to the listeners. You know, you've been listening to American Indian Airwaves. We go all the way to Lakota country. We go all the way over there with the Mohawks. We go all the way to the East Coast. And the situation with the Oshodani people, and then we go down to Mexico, we report that. We even go Kanaka people, we mention Lahaina, you know, and the tragedy what's going on in Maui, you know, we mention that. We mention also what's going on in the local community. So, you know, I think one important thing, we want to reach out to our Native communities, but also non-Native communities, to donate in this time of need. Now, Larry, the film, and the interview with Diane, we had her on with the Sacred Sites with Abby and myself, and you, Larry, did the program like Sacred Stage. And that was a program we talked about that no one talks about, the playwrights, you know, and the and what they have gone through, what their ideas are. And at the same time, Larry, no other program, because does what we do, and we want to reach out to all the people that listen and like us to reach out and donate to KPFK. Now, at the same time, you know this already, Larry, I'm not going to repeat it, but because you do an excellent job. The transnational capitalist and the media outlays, this what we call the multinational corporation, that situation, and their control of the media and the propaganda and the shamanism and the world politics and shaping the image of United States, you might say, colleagues in imperialism. And we use these words not lightly, but said all the major corporations and the media outlets have an agenda. Our agenda is clear, and that is bring the truth about Native issues and the situation of combating racism, combating, you know, white supremacy, combating, you know, the stranglehold of Native nations and the terrible history of this country, the ethnic cleansing and the genocide and the Holocaust and all those fancy words that are basically that terrorizing the Native community. We can have so many other things, but that history needs to be understood to have a vision for the future. American Indian Airways been going on for some time, and I think one of the things, Larry, is that we want to, this time, especially fundraisers, reach out to our communities and saying that your organization, your church group, your reservations within the areas that we touch and whatnot, in order to combat the misinformation on the multinational corporations, you know, like mineral extraction industries and all the government, you know, reports that really side with the multinational corporations and extraction industries, or at the same time, these transnational capitalists that manipulate and also have their own agenda. Our agenda is simple. Bring the truth to you, our listeners. We are offering these pledges. Go on the website, kpfk.org. And we thank you so much for giving your time and your money to listen to our programs, number one, but at the same time, reach in your wallet, take out that plastic, donate to here to KPFK, and if you support the American Indian Airwaves, Larry.
Thank you, Marcus. And, you know, it's so important to support us and in KPFK, in part because, like what you're saying about transnational capital and private media, which dominates our entertainment media landscape, that dominates, you know, the news media landscape, that dominates the internet. And there's all kinds of different ways that computational propaganda and other media forms of propaganda that exist out there, and indigenous voices, Native American voices and nations, especially, you know, frontline grassroots peoples and even our Native artists, you know, such as the case with our Sacred Sage series, are frequently, you know, erased. They're unheard voices. They're distorted or maligned voices by non-Native people, you know, reporting or talking about Native issues. And here on American Indian Airwaves, we try to, you know, fill that gap. And certainly, you know, a one-hour show doesn't provide us the means to fill that gap, just because of, you know, how vast and how numerous Native American peoples are throughout Turtle Island. But here on American Indian Airwaves, we do bring you those unheard, marginalized, and erased voices of Native peoples on the front lines, doing the grassroots work, right, making inroads in settler colonialism and trying to, you know, dismantle it, if you will, or certainly challenge it in ensuring that we have a future as Indigenous peoples. And that includes all of you, the listeners, supporting Native peoples, supporting the work that we do here on American Indian Airwaves, and supporting KPFK, which allows us to have this base, if you will, a home on the radio airwaves. And so we ask, again, you support the station in a variety of different ways. You can call 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, or visit the kpfk.org website. You can become a KPFK Sustainer Circle member by agreeing to donate a dollar amount of your choice on a monthly basis, or select from a variety of premium items for that dollar amount as a way to show your support here on American Indian Airwaves and KPFK.
The moment of silence is over.
And that concludes our show for today here on American Indian Airwaves. You're listening to our ongoing series, Sacred Stage Talks with Native Playwrights and Artists. We spoke with Diane Frayer. She's from the Osage Cherokee Nations and founder and director of Amerinda Inc., a community-based multi-arts organization that works to empower Native Americans. She's also the writer, director, and producer of the new feature Native American film, The Heart Stays, that was just released on a variety of different digital streaming platforms on March 26. A special thank you to our guest for the hour, Diane Frayer. A special thank you to our musical guest, Aragon Star, Koopa Aina, and the band Blackfire. American Indian Airwaves is mixed and mastered in the studios of Burnt Swamp Studios in Signal Hill, California. For Marcus Lopez, I've been your host for the hour, Larry Smith. Until next time.
Nor the hands that hold the chains. We'll be right back.
against our fears. Try not to become what we've endured. Wearing our souls on a thread. The moment of silence is over.
Norman Solomon saying that you're listening to non-commercial, listener-sponsored, volunteer-driven community radio, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
Postmodern, a reaction against the ideas and values of modernism. Avant-garde, new, unusual,